Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And we're going to spend some time today talking about digital currencies like Bitcoin. Now, for many of you, you might be asking, do I care? I don't use it. I don't really even understand it. But that doesn't mean that you can ignore it and hope that it will go away, because it's not. These e-currencies have the potential to totally upend how the financial system works, possibly even changing the future of money. But it seems like when you do hear stories about things like Bitcoin, it's because of something illegal or something went wrong. Just this week, Bitstamp, a Bitcoin exchange, said that it lost over $5 million due to a security breach and then halted operations. There is little regulation of this new digital currency, but that's going to change very soon as final regulations are expected to be announced by Ben Lasky, the superintendent of New York State's Department of Financial Services, and he joins me now. Hello.
Hi, great to be with you.
So first, can you define exactly what electronic currencies are and how would these licenses work that you are proposing?
Sure. So virtual currencies, Bitcoin, but there are other types of virtual currencies besides Bitcoin, are basically a computerized or internet-based way to have a payment system that operates outside of our normal fiat currency, dollar bills, let's say, payment system. And it has a number of potential advantages. One of those is it can make it much easier to transfer money around the world. And it also, Bitcoin has the potential to really lower the cost of moving money around. And it's a way, using the encryption, you don't have to give all your personal data either. And that, you know, in a world where we're having more and more threats to cybersecurity and identity theft, it could offer a real way to avoid those kinds of perils. The trick, though, is that because the unique characteristics of virtual currency, they're subject to potential abuse. And the question is, can we develop a regulatory framework to make Bitcoin and virtual currencies a lot safer, but have a framework that is not so strong that we put these new fledgling companies and all their innovative techniques out of business?
So what are the licenses that you're proposing?
Yeah, we call it a Bit license. And when we looked at it, we really thought that it was such a unique technology that we really needed to tailor our regulations somewhat so they fit the unique characteristics of virtual currencies.
Is it reliable? Because when we do hear stories about it, it's often because there's been some sort of breach, money has disappeared, or it's been used for, you know, potentially even illegal activity.
Well, I think that highlights the fact that there hasn't been enough regulation around it. And, you know, stepping back from it a moment, what you see here, and it's not just with Bitcoin, you're seeing it with all these new financial technologies colliding with Wall Street. You have this very unregulated world of tech innovation, they're not used to any regulation, now colliding and coming into a very conservatively, carefully regulated banking system. And no one knows where that collision sort of ends up. And that's what we're in the middle of right now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, we're here in New York City, really the center of Wall Street and finance. So how much does something like these electronic currencies, digital currencies, have the potential to just totally disrupt how the financial industry works?
Well, look, it's a disruptive technology. There's no question about it. Bitcoin's not going to show up and, you know, the next day JP Morgan fails. It's just not how the world works, and it won't work that way. But there hasn't been anyone pushing on the existing payment system to get better and more efficient through the use of technology. All these new financial technologies are starting to do that.
Are you worried that the regulations that you're coming out with could actually kill innovation and mean the end of the e-currency or at the minimum really stifle innovation?
I'm not worried about it because I think we've given that a lot of thought. And so we've tailored these regulations very carefully. You know, if there are certain actors who don't want any regulation or want to just be able to flout the law, yeah, they're not going to be able to survive. But I don't think that's a bad thing for the system. But I don't think we're going to be stifling sort of good, efficient, smart innovation because we've tailored the regulations.
When do you think you'll release the final rules?
Early in 2015 is my – I anticipate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ben Lasky is the superintendent of New York State's Department of Financial Services. If you haven't been paying attention to Bitcoin or the world of digital currencies, it's probably because you're distracted with 100 other things. We all are, and it's a problem.
I call myself a focus doctor, since it seems that everyone these days thinks they have ADD, even though they don't.
This is Ned Halliwell. He's a psychologist and author of a new book from the Harvard Business Review, Driven to Distraction at Work.
People come to me thinking they have ADD, and I say, no, you just have a severe case of modern life.
Well, how do we overcome that?
First, you got to make sure you don't have the true ADD, and most people don't. You know, it's only about 5% of the population who has that. But probably 85% feels kind of overwhelmed, you know, plagued by interruptions, distractions, victims of their own enthusiasm, overcommitted, answering, you know, too many bells to answer, too many messages to respond to, too many tasks to get done.
Only 85%?
Yeah, I know that's conservative.
Why is that, that we are so distracted?
Well, part of it, it's that it's fun. There's kind of a high, you know, you get by, you know, you're a master of the universe. You're multitasking. You're doing lots of things. And the self-deception is that you're very productive. Well, you're not. You're just very, very busy.
I'm trying really hard not to go to my email as we're talking, by the way.
Well, we're so conditioned to do that.
Give me some ways that you can actually achieve focus.
Well, first of all, take care of your brain. And that's the obvious, you know, get enough exercise, get enough sleep, eat right, develop the practice of meditation, and get regular doses of positive human contact, what I call the other vitamin C.
Walk me through just a couple of different ways that you can achieve focus in the world that we're living in right now. When you're in the office, some very basic things that one could do to try and get that focus back.
Well, a quick burst of exercise is a real good one. Just stand up from your desk, drop down and do 10 push-ups or run up and down stairs. I mean, in 1 minute or even 30 seconds, you can push the reset button on your brain.
I can only tell you the reaction of my colleagues if I were to just drop and give them 10. Ned, thank you very much.
Thanks. Really nice to be with you.
All of us run a gauntlet of distractions every day just to keep it all together. I don't know about you, but for me this year, I'm going to try and take back some control, like maybe looking up more often from all the screens around me.
We're conditioned to bring out our iPhone, open up our laptop, look up at the television screen. I'm not saying let's go back to a world without screens. I'm just saying what we have to do is we've got to put ourselves in charge of them and not let them be in charge of us.
If you're prone to distractions and have found some ways to conquer them, let us know how you do it. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. Or better yet, record a voice message and email it to us. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.